Beautiful are the feet of the one who bears glad tidings in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently, here at the Hermitage, we indulged ourselves in the search for a Christmas movie that might be inspiring. Naturally, we were looking for a movie that had a religious approach to this season. And so we settled upon Christmas Holiday, starring Gene Kelly, but to be sure, there would be no singing and dancing. Where Gene Kelly represented a psychotic man who had a psychotic mother and a farm girl from Vermont who marries into the family. It was not the movie we expected. And also thrown in was a lieutenant in the army who was head over heels in love and headed off during Christmas leave to marry his beloved, who sends him a Dear John telegram. At the end of the movie, nothing is resolved and people have died. And the last words of the movie from the lieutenant to the grieving Vermont girl who is kneeling over her husband, "Let go." And Sister Marianne said, "And they didn't even get married." Why did she say that? Well, because forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, that is what a happy ending is. To borrow Shakespeare's words in the play As You Like It, "Then there is mirth in heaven when things made uneven atone together." And then turns to the father of the bride, "Good Duke, take your daughter. Hymen from heaven hath brought her." And in this play, two people marry who in that marriage are able to amend all that is wrong in the world around them. Wonderful. Why is it marriage that should represent this reconciliation of opposites? Because men and women are opposite. Men and women are unlike the other. Those of us who have lived religious lives have heard and read an awful lot about the other and loving the other. And marriage, of course, is the furthest extreme of this. For a man to love a woman, she has to reach deep inside, for he is truly other. And for a man to marry, he too is heading into a strange territory, and he must never make the mistake, the woman's movement notwithstanding, to believe that she is going to be just like him, because she is not. It is the marriage of these opposites from which, to say the very least, life proceeds. Now let us think of two families. One named Montague, one named Capulet. Romeo Montague is the last in his line. Should he die, this will mean the end of a long and storied history of a distinguished family, snuffed out, never to be lit again. And Juliet, a Capulet, should she die unmarried, this will mean the end of the Capulet line. This indeed is a dark prospect. You see, it's the end of a life world, a holocaust of kinds. But good luck. They have fallen in love. And should the Montagues and the Capulets marry, the last two in their line should marry, and they start raising sons whose first names are Capulet and Montague. Now, there's a distinguished name, Montague. And we have the happiest of happy endings. A world of ancient feuding set right. A world of light where there was darkness. A world of happiness where there was sorrow. A world of life where there was death. And good luck, they do marry. And yet both die I hate to admit that there's a Franciscan friar involved in his bad judgment. They who were married both die, dashing the hopes of this world, and the curtain falls in darkness. They die because of bad timing. They die because those who were feuding have made them stumble. And the little stratagem that this friar had created, Juliet would seem to be dead, but she can take this potion, and Romeo gets there too early, and the news gets to him too late. Well, you know how the story ends. It's one of the most famous love stories in the world. But I want you to see that it is not classically a tragedy. A tragedy is far different from this. There are rules for a tragedy. From Aeschylus and Sophocles on, there are rules for a tragedy. This doesn't match any of the rules. What this is a comedy. What this is the happiest of happy endings that has been turned upside down. It's a disappointed comedy. That is why we call it tragic. Disappointed comedy is something that we have become familiar with in our time. And the reason that this movie doesn't end with a marriage, Christmas Holiday starring Gene Kelly, is because, and while it doesn't make any sense, the one subplot wasn't resolved, the other subplot wasn't resolved. Because it is a modern movie, and modern art reflects the brokenness of our world. Modern art admits our world is terribly broken. What exactly is this good news announced by the man who has beautiful feet? What are these glad tidings? Well, of course, it is a prophecy of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the significance of this? We who are standing here thousands of years later have one perspective, but let us sit together. I'll smoke my pipe in Bethlehem, and we can talk about the significance of the arrival of such a child, perhaps not knowing this child could ever arrive. What would it mean? What did it mean to Peter, who would have known this life world very well? What would it mean to Saul, Paul, who would have known this life world very well? What would they have seen? And especially, what would they have seen a few years later? To pick a year out of the hat, 72 AD. Let me ask another question to tie this little package together. Why was Jesus born when he was born? Why not 1,000 years earlier, or 1,000 years later, or today? Why then? Naturally, I've thought about it in the 25 years of ministry and preaching I've been asked to do. When I was younger, I used to say, well, Alexander the Great had conquered the world, and they all spoke the same language, Greek. Even in Rome, Greek was spoken. Latin had devolved into a cultic language spoken in the Senate and the first families of Rome. Greek was spoken everywhere. So everybody could read the same books. Everybody could hear the same homilies. There's a chance now for there to be a kind of general reconciliation in the world. Or the Romans had built this network of trade routes and roads that made it possible to evangelize the world, but never before. And I mean, you know, it goes on and on and on, but that's not the right answer, I realized here in my dotage. The right answer is that the life world of God's people is about to be forever destroyed. It begins in a garden. You know, I've never really accepted the idea that the Jews were selected among all people to be God's people, because the plot of the sacred scriptures doesn't add up that way. Sacred Scriptures begins in a garden with two people. The Jews are simply the descendants of those people. How do I know this? Because the story of that garden is in their holiest book, the Tanakh. Because I happened to be in their living room and I stumbled along an old album of photographs. And I said, my goodness, their ancestors were Adam and Eve. God created two people. They had children. And in a sad tale of broken love, God had tried over and over and over again to bring these people closer to him. I won't tell the whole story because I'm supposed to give us a brief homily today. But need it be said that the destruction of the first temple separates God's people from God? It can only be one temple. And we look ahead just a few years after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not only will the second temple be destroyed, the entire Jewish life world will be annihilated. Jerusalem will become a field of rubble. This is all in the lifetime of the apostles. Do we have a hint that maybe Father God could look ahead a few years and see what's happening? Now, in a mystery, God's foreknowledge does not mean that such a thing must happen. And I won't go into all of the ways that our reality works, but the more we learn about how electrons operate in quantum physics, we realize that it's possible for there to be several outcomes that are all real, but in different dimensions. You see, God has given us this sovereign gift, this divine gift, to two orders of his creatures, angels and humans, free will. God sees what one outcome might be, and he sends his only begotten Son, that there may be a happy ending, that there may be a reconciliation. Who is feuding? Montagues, Capulets. My goodness, the whole world is feuding. Everyone is set against everybody else. The Pharisees against the Sadducees. The Sadducees against the high priests. The Jewish world, the Palestinian world against the Romans. Everybody, with rebels and zealots breaking out on every front. Why, just a few years before Jesus was born, I don't know how many hundreds of men were crucified in Palestine at the same time. And their families slaughtered at the foot of their crosses as they died. We're talking about a very dark world with a depraved king and his depraved son and ruthless Romans. And then the destruction forever of the Holy Land and God's people. All happening right then. God sends his only begotten Son. It is a long shot. And God is now placing everything he has on this gamble. And as with Romeo and Juliet, the table is set for a wonderful happy ending, for a wonderful comedy. God's Son will marry his spouse, God's people. God is a spouse to his people. And there will be glad tidings on the mountain, and beautiful are the feet who bring them. but like the modern movie, portraying the world's brokenness. It turns out, well, it's just bad timing. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Somehow the world couldn't be converted fast enough to realize that their God dwelt among them. You see, only a few short years later, it would be generally believed. Bad timing. But God, seeing the final separation between himself and his people and the destruction of the temple for the second time, decided that he would be the temple and that we would be its stones. And in an act of brilliant creativity and love, he reorders the whole world, not just the 12 tribes of Israel, who seem to be the direct descendants, but the whole world would be reconciled to him, and each person would have a wonderful opportunity to love him as he was not loved only a short time earlier, to honor him as he was not honored a short time earlier, to kneel before him and to understand him to be our God and our King. And in this child lays all the possibilities of the ages. And instead of now depending upon what we might think of as the psychodynamic or the political dynamics of powerful people in a particular land, now the decision is made in each heart to become a people purified, set apart for him, zealous for good deeds. The good news is that in this child we find the founding of this new kind of temple, this new kind of world, brilliant in its creative design and indestructible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.